Amen, and you can be seated. Open up your Bibles with me this evening, if you have them, to the book of Ephesians. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, our ushers, they'll be in the aisles now with Bibles. You can lift up your hand, and they will gladly give you one. If you don't have a Bible at all, now you do. That one is yours to keep. If you do have a Bible and for whatever reason weren't able to bring it, you can just give it back to the ushers, that the Bible they're giving you. You can give it back to the ushers at the end of the service. Ephesians chapter 4 and we'll start off in verse 11. We've been talking about walking with God. And we said a big part of walking with God is learning to be led by His Spirit, being led by Him. And we said in order to do that, we've got to be aware of the channel, the avenue that God leads us from, the avenue that He speaks to. And we said that man is a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, and that the part of man, or we could say the part of you that God communicates to, the part of you that He's going to lead you by, is by your spirit. And we said last week that just as you can mature and grow and develop mentally, and just as you can mature and grow and develop physically, you can mature and grow and develop spiritually. And many people don't think in those terms. We know we expect our children to grow up. We expect them to grow in responsibilities and grow in what they're able to do. And there comes a day where we expect them to feed themselves and dress themselves. We expect them to be able to put themselves to bed. We expect them to be able to wake up on time and make the school bus. Wow, we expect them to grow up, and we should. We ought to expect them to grow and develop mentally and physically. And if for whatever reason development is not taking place physically or mentally, immediately we go and check it out because we know development ought to take place. Growth ought to take place. And so we're mindful of those things. And every person probably on this earth, no matter what continent they live on, are mindful of those things, whether or not their children are growing and developing mentally and physically. And we said that too many people, very few, are mindful of the fact that we can grow and develop spiritually. And because they're not pursuing to grow spiritually, they're not pursuing to be developed or to mature spiritually, they live a life never hearing from God. Not because He's not speaking, or not because He's not leading, but because the avenue that He's speaking to is undeveloped. They don't understand it. I'll put it to you in this light. I have two kids of my own. They're wonderful children. But when they're babies, you can be right up in their face talking to them. I mean, you could be talking to them about a TV show or whatever, and they may be gooing and gawing and all of those things, and they may be hearing your voice, but there's not a full understanding. Isn't that right? They're not fully comprehending. And it's not that you're not speaking, it's that they haven't developed mentally yet. They're still developing. And, you know, you could tell them at 3 months, I'm going to take you to Disney World when you get 3 years old. And, you know, it'd be just like telling them we're going for a walk. They may appreciate it, but they don't have a mental recollection as far as what Disney World is. But, you know, you get them 3 or 4 years old and you start talking to them about that. Oh, you see the light bulb comes on. They're excited. They're energized. And they start reminding you of what you said. When we go into Disney World. Why? They're developing. Well, it's the same way spiritually speaking. See, many people are still babies spiritually. And God's speaking to them, but they don't comprehend it's Him. They don't understand it. They're not mentally, it's not comprehending because they haven't developed spiritually. We got to grow up. And we looked at last week and we saw that there are three different levels of spiritual growth that the Bible makes mention of. It talks about the infancy stage. Isn't that right? We looked over there in the book of John where Jesus was talking to an individual and said, you must be born again. And He mentioned that word often. You must be born again. And we're very familiar with those terms, especially in the Deep South. When someone comes down and gives their heart to the Lord, we say that they are being born again. Well, that's the proper terminology. They are being born. Spiritually speaking, they are being born. And most people never develop beyond that. Because spiritual growth doesn't just happen like physical growth. It's not a natural progression. There's got to be an investment made. And many people never make an investment beyond that. And so they stay in that infancy stage. And we'll look at several examples of that this evening to identify whether or not you and I are in that stage or not. We'll look at that. And then we see that the Bible talks about being a child, growing up from infancy into childhood. And that word child made mention of all throughout the New Testament. Refers anywhere from a small child all the way to a teenager. There's a childhood stage. And then there's a manhood stage. There's a maturity stage. And that's where you and I long to be. Well, I'd love to say we all long to be there. I believe you do. But that's where we all need to be. Growing and developing until we reach manhood, spiritually speaking. Adulthood, spiritually speaking, where we reach full maturity. And we see Paul talking about this to the church at Ephesus. And watch what he writes here to them in Ephesians chapter 4. And let's look in verse 11. Ephesians 4 and 11. And he writes and says, and he gave some, he being God, gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Now here we see the ministry gifts, and each one of these types of gifts has a different role. The apostle is a sent one. And typically what that means is basically like a modern day missionary. God's sending someone to start a work, to start a church, to develop people. A prophet is a seer. He sees the will of God and he's able to articulate it and speak it out. And then you have teachers, and typically a teacher is very similar to a pastor, but typically a teacher will major on one particular subject. There's a subject, when they get on it, I mean light comes. When they start talking there, Brother Hagin used to always say that he'd operate in that teaching anointing. And whenever he'd get up to preach, he could start talking about the rapture, but it always find its way over to faith and healing. I mean, just it didn't matter what he tried to talk about. It just always would wind back up with faith and healing. Well, those were his subjects. And typically, teachers major on a subject. There's a subject that they're just sharp in. A pastor, it's like a teacher, but they're more rounded. Because the church needs to hear every type of subject. So, you know, you get up and you teach on all different types of things. And so there are different gifts that God has said he's placed in the body of Christ. And he says that these gifts are to help us do some things. Let's look at what he tells us these gifts are to help us do. If on the screens, can you pull up verse 13 in the Amplified? Verse 13 in the Amplified. He says that these gifts are supposed to do something. In verse 12, it says that these gifts are in the body for the perfecting of the saints. Now, we said don't let that word perfect trip you up. It doesn't mean flawless. It doesn't mean that you're just perfect in every way. This word perfect here means maturity, your maturity, for the maturity of the saints. He's placed these gifts in the body for the developing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now notice, these gifts, they're to keep working until some things take place. He says the first thing is that we come in unity of the faith. Then he says, number two, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And then number three, unto a perfect, or we could say mature man. Unto the measure, he's about to tell us what that mature man looks like. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at this in the Amplified. It says that we might develop. Notice as a Christian, there's still some developing that needs to happen in you. You know, one of the ways we said last week that you can still tell if you're in that childhood, babyhood stage is whether or not you think you need to grow. You know, little kids are always talking about little kids. Yeah, I've got a nephew who's 7 years old, and he refers to my kids as the little kids. You know, that's the little kid show. And he's just a little kid himself. But see, there's a measure of pride within kids that's always wanting to step up above the next level. You know, even seniors in high school, they'll talk about those little freshmen. And there's only 4 years difference. You know, once you get older, 4 years is nothing. And you don't even think about that anymore. Why? You've developed. You've grown. You're in that maturity stage. But when you're a kid, I mean, 3 years, that's a big deal. You know, they're in ninth grade and I'm in 12. Well, what is that? That's a maturity issue. So if you're here tonight and you don't think you need to grow, that's a good sign. You really do need to grow. Brother Hagin used to always say, and he's probably the most spiritually mature man I know and have ever met, that the more I learn, the more I realize there's so much out there that I don't know. Even Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, said, "We know in part." He said, "That I may know him." What? He's still in the pursuit of development. He's still in the pursuit of the Lord. And so if you ever fall into a place where you're just thinking, "Oh, I'm okay spiritually," that's a good sign. You need to grow up a little bit. So turn to your neighbor and tell him, you know what you need to do? You need to grow up. You need to grow up. And we said, if that bothers you, that's a good sign once again that indicates exactly where you're at. Ephesians 4 and verse 13 says that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood. The completeness of personality. Now, notice what he's about to define what this manhood stage is, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. So when you've developed or grown spiritually and you've reached that adulthood stage, what does your life start to look like? It's looking like Christ. You start talking like him, you start acting like him, you start loving like him, you start being moved with compassion just like he was moved. You start reaching out to people and loving people. You start to rise up and use your faith. Really, mature manhood looks just like Christ. Notice here, he keeps talking here in verse 14. And notice the phrasing here, that we henceforth be no more children. Children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait. But speaking the truth in love, I love this next phrase, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Notice, you and I are to grow up. We're to grow into mature manhood, adulthood. And when we get to that place, get past that infancy stage, get past that childhood stage, when we reach mature manhood, our life starts looking like Christ. And to help us get there, God's given gifts unto men. Pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, apostles, to help get us there. We need to grow up. With growth comes things. There comes, obviously, more responsibility. The more our children grow, the more we expect out of them. And it's the same way with us spiritually. The more we grow, there's more responsibility. There's things that the Lord starts expecting out of us. But not only does more responsibility come, more privileges come as well. A new level of living comes. More freedoms come. Just like with your own child, as they grow, more freedoms start to develop. Whereas before you wouldn't let them cross the street, now you let them go out of the house and play with friends. Why? They're growing up. And the same thing is true spiritually. When we grow spiritually, there's a freedom that comes in your life. You have more responsibility, yes, but there's also more privileges. There are things that you will never be able to walk in unless you make a decision to grow. I was thinking about this today, and as I was praying, I remembered about 2 years ago, I had a dream. I was just in deep sleep and had a dream, and it was one that was a spiritual dream. I knew it immediately when I woke up. This wasn't a result of me eating too much pizza. I knew this was the Lord. And in the dream, I saw me. But it wasn't me. I mean, I was thinking about it today and it almost brought tears to my eyes. I mean, tears of joy. I saw me, but it wasn't me. It was a better version of me. It was me on a whole nother level. It was amazing to see. I mean, it was almost in the sense of, you know it's you, but it's like, is that really me? Such a better version. Such an improvement. You know, if you had a cell phone 10 years ago, and then you got a cell phone today, that's the type of difference. I mean, it was an amazing thing to see. I feel liberty to where I can share a little bit about it. I was on a private airplane, and I could tell that I just got done preaching. I don't know where to whom, but I knew I just got done preaching. I was in a three-piece suit, but I didn't have the coat on. I had a vest, I had the tie, and I had the pants. I looked sharp. I mean, I'm telling you, looked sharp. And I was sitting there in this chair, and there was a presence there, just a presence there, that I knew I didn't have in my life at that moment. See, the anointing, there's a weightiness behind it. You can see it. You can recognize it. You can recognize greatness. Even when people get up in a pulpit or you see it, you can say, see, there's different levels of anointing. There's a weightiness behind the anointing. And there was a weightiness there with that man that was so much different from where I was at that present time. And I got up from the seat, and I walked down the little aisle there, and there was another seat there, and then another, and then one up here. And I walked up, and I had my hand up on the little airplane deal, and there was one of my employees that was there. I guess he was with me. And I started talking to him, and we started laughing. I guess I said something funny. And so we were just having a good time. And then I started ministering to him, started talking to him. And I'm telling you what, it was like life. I mean, every word, you could see it just resonating in his heart. And it was something, like I said, on a whole nother level. Well, anyway, I woke up. And when I woke up, I was almost in tears. And I was sitting in my bed there. I was sitting upright. I tried to get out of the bed without waking up my wife. And I went upstairs. At the time, I had a little office upstairs. And I went up there. And I just started crying. Because I knew that was me, but that wasn't me. And I started praying about, what do I have to do to get there? And the Lord started talking to me. I mean, as clear as I'm talking to you now. He gave me two subjects. The two subjects aren't that important to you, because yours may be different. So, you know, I've said them before, but I think people start majoring on that, but they may need something entirely different. But he started talking to me about two subjects from the Word of God. And he said, if you're ever going to get there, you need to major on these. These are the two things that will take you to that place. Now, here's what I mean, and here's what I'm getting at by saying all that. There's the level of living for you that's just like that. It's a grown-up version of you. I mean, spiritually speaking. It's a version of you that people wouldn't believe the difference. You're changed into another man. Changed into another woman. I mean, you see it throughout the Bible. Big time conversions. Saul to Paul. Jacob to Israel. Simon to Peter. A reed that's easily shaken unto the rock. Big time conversions. Gideon hiding out in a wine press, completely afraid, but when God was done with him, he rose up as a champion. Well, there's a you like that for you. There's a you that's a whole nother you. That's so much better than the you are right now. It's slap ridiculous. I'm serious. A version of you that's the ultimate you. But it wasn't going to happen for me, and it won't happen to you just by happenstance. You won't get there just by age. You won't get there just by experience. The clock won't do it. God lives outside of time. He's not looking at time. He's not looking at how old you are. He's not looking at what year it is. He's outside of time. He's looking at something entirely different, your heart. See, we look at calendars and months and think things ought to be different, but God doesn't look at things that way. If you're ever going to get to that person, there's got to be some things you do. There's got to be some growth, some development. There's got to be something. And you know, most of you, I would say, probably know what those things are. For some, it may be particular subjects. For another person, I was listening to a CD today, and the minister was talking about how a young guy came up to him and said, "I got a great call on my life. I mean, I've got a great call." And started talking about that and talking about that call and all of those things. And it kind of, you know, the minister was kind of laughing about it because there was an element of just immaturity and pride behind it. And he walked away from it, and he just walked away, and the Lord spoke to his heart and said, "He's right. He does have a great call." But he said, right now, I've been talking to him about he had two things. But his two things were entirely different than my two. He said, the first thing I'm telling him to do is get a job and keep it. Get a job and keep it. And the second thing I'm calling him to do is get in a church and be faithful. And until he does those two things, I won't talk to him about anything else. See, he's not just going to get in a great call and get in his calling, even though it's his calling. It doesn't happen that way. There's got to be a growth there. There's got to be some development there. And until he does those two things, it's not going to take him to the next thing. And then unless he does that next thing, it won't take him to that next thing. And there's got progression there that leads to where he wakes up one day and he's in his great call. And it's the same with you. What's the Lord been speaking to your heart about? Making adjustments and changes. When you do that, guess what you're doing? You're growing up. When you develop in those subjects, guess what you're doing? You're growing up. And the more you grow up, the more God can trust you with. There's more responsibility. But friend, there's also a whole lot more privileges. So there's a development. There's a babyhood stage. There's a childhood stage. And there's a mature adulthood stage. And in that mature adulthood stage, there is freedoms, friend. There's liberties. In that stage, it's the ultimate you. I mean, you're slap changed into another person. Well, let's talk about characteristics of each stage. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Man, you guys are listening so good. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's see this first stage, this infancy stage. We're going to run through these fairly quickly because the most important thing I want you to do is for you to see the need to grow up. Like we said, that's a big part of growth, is you got to see the need to grow. So we're going to talk about these things. Hopefully you can identify yourself. And then ultimately my goal is that while we're talking in your heart, the Lord starts talking to you. And he starts speaking to your heart about some adjustments and things. And see, when you get those things, when he starts prompting you need to make a change there, don't beat yourself up and fall into condemnation. That's the time to rejoice, friend. Why? Because when you do those things, you're on your way. You're on your way to the ultimate you. You're on your way to that other person. So don't beat yourself up. Rejoice. Get excited about it because you're getting an answer. Amen. So we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to look at the infancy stage. There's some primary characteristics of this stage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1. "But as unto carnal, even as unto babes," or babies, "in Christ. I have fed you with milk," just like a natural baby, "and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal." Notice this next phrase. "For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal?" Notice this next phrase. "And walk as men." One translation said, "And walk as natural men." He's saying your life ought not to look like a natural man. But he says you're living just like one because you're still a baby in Christ. And he says the reason why you are still a baby is there's certain characteristics that are in your life. He tells us what those characteristics are. Notice what he says here. He says in verse 3, "You're carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions." We said this last week. A baby lives in a very small world. You know, when they're a little infant, when they're a little child, they're not thinking about the economy. They're not thinking about a house trying to sell. They're not thinking about what's in the Clarion Ledger in USA Today or any of those types of things. Their world pretty much evolves around their immediate needs and wants. You know, whether it's a need to be burped or a need to be changed or a need to be fed or a need to get that toy back that other kid in the nursery took or, you know, any different types of needs or wants, their world is very small and it centers around them. In fact, one of a child's first words is what? Mine. Mine. They're used to that. They know what they want. And we said this last week, they pitch a fit until they get what they want. And sometimes they may be whining and you're trying to meet the need. I mean, you're patting, you're rubbing, you're burping. But while you're burping and patting, they want to be changed. And they're going to keep whining until you fix the area that needs to be fixed. And then other times you try to change them, but what they're really wanting is to be fed. And so you can be sitting there fiddling with a diaper and they're just going to sit there and whine and cry until you get to what they really want. And sometimes nothing's wrong with them at all. I mean, nothing's wrong with them at all. They just want some attention and they want to be held. And it's just a little baby. And the same thing is true with spiritual babies. They want to be held and they'll pitch a fit until you come over there and check on them and see what they want. And I'll put it to you this way. The Lord gave me this phrase. And he said, I love this. Let me flip to it in my notes. I want to make sure I say it. You can tell someone's level of development by what they get upset over. By what they get upset over. My little girl, she was going through some pictures of Disney World. We went to Disney World about a year ago, and she was going through those pictures. And while we were on the trip, she got this little purple dinosaur type deal there at the theme park. And I mean, it was her favorite stuffed animal for a long time. And so she went over there you know, she slept with it every time, every night. And, you know, for months and months, that was the it toy in the Sims house was her purple little dinosaur. Well, my wife, she's a clean aholic in many ways. It's a good thing. She keeps things straight. She doesn't like clutter. And so, you know, the purple dinosaur got a little nasty and disappeared. It disappeared from the home. And Reese at that time had moved on to other toys, so she wasn't thinking about it. And when she saw the picture, immediately it clicked. Where's my purple dinosaur? So she goes over to my wife is actually sitting there showing her the pictures, and my daughter's sitting there next to her, and she says, "Mommy, where's my dinosaur?" Just, you know, she's almost tearing up. And my wife doesn't even have to say anything. She says, "Mommy, did you throw him away?" I mean, tears are welling up in her eyes, buddy. I mean, this is a big deal. Her earth is moving. I mean, it's moving at this moment. You know, you've seen it. You know, if your kid has an ice cream cone and someone bumps them and the ice cream falls off the cone. I mean, it's not a big deal. You can get another scoop. But in their mind, in their world, woo, this is a big deal. I mean, you can start sense it. Those emotions start welling up in them and big crocodile tears start coming down. You can tell how developed someone is by what they get upset over. So I saw it as an opportunity. I swept in and said, "Baby, Mommy did throw that dinosaur away. But you know what?" I said, "Let's pull out Daddy's computer." And so we sat down with Daddy's computer, and I pulled it up, and I found that dinosaur, and I said, "I'm going to buy you a new one, baby." I said, "Daddy loves you, and Mommy threw it away," and I got to take her to bed that evening. So anyway, you can tell how developed you are. Yeah, it was a good fix. By what upsets you. And friends, spiritual babies, and once again, when you have a baby, you don't get upset with them for being a baby. It's what they are. They're a baby. You just see they need to grow up a little bit. And so if you see this in other people, or even almost more importantly, if you see this in yourself, that's not a time to get upset with yourself. So I'm just saying, you know, I could grow up a little bit. And if you're constantly dealing with issues and battles are constantly being fought, making mountains out of molehills and what people are saying about you at work, it's not a big deal. It's not earth-shattering. It's not making the Clarion Ledger. It's not news. But if that upsets you constantly, then friends, you're identifying yourself. If you are at odds with people and there's strife developing and you're constantly wanting attention, then you're showing off to yourself where you're at spiritually speaking. We see this here, that they had strife among them. They had envyings among them. They had divisions among them. There was a lot of offense in the church. There was a lot of gossiping in the church. They were making big deals out of things that weren't really big deals. And they were voicing that to other people. And Paul said, "Guys, there's some things I long to do and long to tell you, but I just can't right now because of the level of development you're on." So they said, "Well, we got to get some more milk in there and get you grown up a little bit." And once again, this is not just Paul talking to the church of Ephesus or Corinth. This is God speaking to the church today. There's some things I long to get you over into, long to show you, but there's got to be some development. So if there is strife and envying and division constantly, we got to get over those issues. Number two, notice here, the second thing he points out about them, as he says, "And are you not carnal?" Carnal. This is the second thing. Go over in your Bibles, if you will. Just real quickly here, we'll close with this and we'll pick up with this next week. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. He says, "Are you not still carnal?" Ephesians chapter 2. Carnal simply means natural. It means fleshy. Like we said, man being a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. It means you're letting your body do most of your thinking for you. You're obeying the lust of the flesh. And I'll give you another type of example of this. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 1. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is talking about someone who doesn't know the Lord, who got born again. He quickened you. God quickened you in that state. He quickened you, brought you out of those sins and brought you away from those trespasses. Watch this in verse 2. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world. Notice he's saying when you were a sinner, you did something. What did you do when you were a sinner? You walked according to the course of this world. Basically, the way the world was walking, you were walking too because you were one of them. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Now watch this. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So this is a type and shadow of being carnal, of being earthly, walking according to the course of the world, going the way of the world. Walking according to what the enemy wants us to do. Walking according to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind and the desires that we have in us. And he says that in that state we were quickened and all of our trespasses and all of our sins, they were forgiven. And it's the truth. When you got born again, your past got completely wiped away. God quickened you and created all things new within you, brought you out of death and over into life. And your spirit man at that time becomes sensitive unto the Lord. It's as sensitive then as it ever will be. You know, a person came up to, I think it was Moody, D.L. Moody, and it was a lady, and she said, you know, I want to get born again, but I want to keep dancing. I want to keep dancing. And she didn't mean dancing with her husband. She meant dancing, you know, nightclub dancing. She said, I want to be born again, but I don't want to quit dancing. And he said, well, come on and get born again anyway. And he says, when you do, your want to will change. You won't want to dance anymore. And there's a spiritual truth in there that nature within you, that spirit that was working in you, disobedience, was completely taken away. All things are become new. And your spirit at the time of conversion is sensitive. But what happens is Christians don't keep walking in that way. They go back to the world. They go back to that old lifestyle, get around those old people. Really, it's a matter of environment. They get in back in their old environment, and that heart that was once so tender became seared, and it doesn't bother them anymore. And they go back walking like the people at Corinth were walking, as carnal people, walking as mere men who don't have the life of God. Their life, you could put it this way, looked strangely like the life of unsaved people. They watch the same things. They visit the same things. They're around the same things. One of the stages of babyhood that's defined here is being carnal, a life that still looks like the world. And so he's saying there's some adjustments there that need to be made. You can't be carnal. He said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. He was talking about the flesh there. And so a spiritual baby is one who's born again. Their sins are washed away, but they're still walking according to the course and pattern of this world. See, when you grow spiritually, your desires start to change. I'll give you an example. You remember Jesus over there? I believe it was in Luke chapter 3. Jesus was 12 years old. And at 12 years old, they went down into the temple. And Jesus' parents, I guess, you know, they packed up the minivan so much, they forgot to check and make sure everybody was there, all the kids were there. And so they drive away, or, you know, they didn't have a minivan, but this is, you know, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. So they're going away, and they look behind them, and they realize Jesus is not with us. Where in the world is Jesus? Now, it's one thing if you lose Johnny. It's a whole nother thing if you've lost Jesus. And so they go, this is the Son of God. And so they go back and they're looking around. And they're around here looking. And they see Jesus sitting in the temple at 12 years old. And he's debating and answering the questions of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they're amazed at his response. I mean, they're amazed by it. And they come up to him. His parents come up to him. Where were you? We were looking everywhere for you. He said, didn't you know I need it to be about my Father's business? And then right after that talks about how Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom and in favor with God and man. What was happening? He wasn't just developing physically, he was developing every other way. What happened when he was developing that way? His interest changed. Think about what other 12-year-olds were doing then, what they were concerned with. But Jesus' interests were in an entirely different place. When you start growing spiritually, your interests change. Your heart begins to dominate you, and the things that your flesh used to be interested in, they're not dominating you anymore. You're just not interested in it. When you're growing, you're becoming less dominated by your natural senses, less carnal and more spiritual. It's like the old song, the things of this world just start to fade away. Not interested in it. You don't walk the same way you used to walk. When you're growing spiritually, that's taking place. That's a good way to know whether or not you're growing. Is the things that I used to enjoy, are they drifting away? I'm not talking about having fun or enjoyment. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about walking according to the prince of the power of the air. And there are things that are out there in this world that are your flesh may want, but they're not good for you spiritually, and your heart really does know it. And as you begin growing spiritually, you start putting those things to the side. And then the more you do that, your desire for those things starts falling away. And guess what's happening? You're growing up. You're growing up. Let me give you the last one here. The number three, we really will end with this. This one's real quick. Number three, ignorance. A little baby, doesn't know it's bad for them to do some things. They'll run out in a street and not know that a car could run over them. They'll put things in their mouth and eat them. And they don't know you shouldn't be eating that. I remember when Reese was a little baby. Well, I don't know if I should tell this story or not. But we had a dog in anyway. It was not good. We brushed your teeth for a number of days. We brushed your teeth every day. But this was, you know, as often as we could. But she didn't know. You know, anybody else would know. You don't want to eat that. You don't want to put that in your mouth. But a baby is just naturally ignorant of those things. You know, they'll swallow pennies and Legos, and you got to put the locks on the doors because, you know, the little cabinet deal's there, because they'll open up the cabinet and drink Pine Sol like it's chocolate milk. You've got to be careful with those things. Why? You know that they're a baby. They don't know. And see, a baby, you know, like we said with point two, you start talking to them about there's some things in this world you don't need to be around. They'll put up a fight with you. They'll put up a fight as to why that should be in their life. They don't know it's bad. You start telling them, a spiritual person comes in and says, you really don't need to be around that person. They'll put up a fight. Right, they don't see it's bad. And when that happens, that's not the time to get mad at him. Like I said, with a little baby, you're not spanking that little baby because he doesn't know any better. He's ignorant. He's ignorant of the fact. And with babes spiritually, there's some things that are bad for them, but they really, honest to goodness, their eyes have not been opened to see this is bad. We'll end with this scripture. Go over one final scripture, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. You'll see this principle here. Once again, don't just believe me. We want scripture for it. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. It says, For when the time came, you ought to be teachers. You again have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong drink. Now notice this, he's talking once again about being babies and how babies need milk and not strong meat. Watch this. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or a baby. The babyhood stage is unskillful in the word. It's unskillful in the word. Now watch this in verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. What's that talking about? Mature manhood. Even those, watch this, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Notice, when you're growing up spiritually, you're able to discern what's good and what's evil. And you're able to see it in the lives of your teenagers very easy. That is bad. They do not need to be around that. You come in and say it's evil. But they may see it because they still haven't developed spiritually as, that's good. I want that. Give me that. I want that in my. They'll put up a fight with you. They'll slam a door to a room and you go in there and tell them whose door it is. But they'll do those types of things. They'll put up a fight. Why? Because in their mind, they don't see it as evil. They don't see it as that way. Why? They're still in that babyhood stage. Third characteristic of a spiritual baby is ignorance. They don't know it's bad for them. You can go over it and go over it and go over it, but that light hasn't come on. When you're growing up spiritually, you're able to see clearly. That's no good. You can even get to a place, I mean, I'm almost hesitant to say it, like with Jesus, to where he walked in and he knew the hearts of people. He knew, that's something not right. You can even get to that place where you're able to discern those things. But it comes by spiritual growth. It comes by spiritual development. So we want to grow up. We want to get out of this babyhood stage. We want to grow up into that childhood stage. And later we want to grow up to mature manhood because it's in that place that you and I are changed into different people. Oh, it's exciting. Amen. Every eye closed. You've been a wonderful audience. Oh, I could keep, but I know you want to come back. And my goal is just to come get you to come back next.